Blog Talk Radio.
For the Lord would say, my joy is set before you, my children. Partake in my word and fulfill my joy, and so shall your joy be filled. For I am the fount of life, and as I pour out of my spirit, I will bless, I will move, I will heal. So come to that fount, my children, so that you might be whole. For it is my desire that you would be complete, perfect, wanting nothing. Come to me and eat of my spirit, drink of my spirit, in all that I have, and you will be all that I need you to be. Yes, my children, I need you to grow up in me so that you will be able to rule and reign with me in this life. For I am the fount of life. My children, come to me and live, saith the Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, we again welcome you to Blog Talk Radio here at LiveDeliverance.com. My name is Pastor Steve Lee, and I'll be your host for the next hour or so. So if you would, go ahead and get some paper and a pen or a pencil and take notes. If you have any questions at the end of the ministry, then we'll receive those questions so that we can all grow thereby. So if you would just join your hearts with me in a word of prayer. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this place, in this time, because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to me, to us the Father, and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you speak of how we should live in this present world. May we now awake to righteousness and slumber no more by walking in the Spirit and in the fullness of his grace as we sojourn in the land of promise, going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. For you've made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our hearts and our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Well, beloved, again, we're going to get into the pursuit of faith. This will be part four of this. And, you know, God is opening it up more and more to me so that I can understand what it is he wants done in the earth and what he's doing in the earth. I asked a question to some people, and the question was, what is faith to you? And generally, when that question was raised, they gave me the simple definition, the quick definition. And although I appreciate that, I found that it's a little bit bigger than that. Well, I mean, we do serve an awesome God. He's big. He's powerful. He's mighty. So these one word definitions or the single simple approach to it is really not going to give us the fullness. I asked God driving home one day, and I said, well, what is faith? And this is what he gave me. You can write this down. Some of this is redundant because I want to make sure that those that are on for the first time can participate in the growth that's necessary. His answer to me was amazing to me. It said, faith is the language and the exchange currency of the kingdom of heaven given to men. I'm going to say that again so you can write it down. Faith is the language and the exchange currency of the kingdom of heaven given to men. Yes, faith is a support structure. It is a stance or a position. It is a starting point. It also is our finish line. Jesus went about saying from that time, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He said he went about saying. That means it was not a one-time statement. He went about saying. See, faith is active. God is a multifaceted God. Therefore, everything that is a part of him is also multifaceted. The one definition approach to faith is not going to take us to where we need to go. He wants us to grow in him. So with my just quick retort, that doesn't display any growth. It does tell me what you know, but it didn't tell me how you grow. Okay? I mean, we've got to, because it says things like this: in him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being. So that means it's not just a static answer. It's supposed to be something that is alive, because God is alive, his word is alive. So everything that's connected to him is alive. Faith is alive. It must be alive and factive. And active. If we have the faith that's alive and active, then we become unstoppable, both on the earth and in heaven. Is that what Jesus taught us to do? Said, pray that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Luke says, in earth, that's in me. See, so we're going to have to begin to function from a different perspective of understanding. Now, this is not saying that your way of understanding is wrong. I'm trying to do what the Apostle Paul did. I'm trying to show you a more excellent way. Didn't say your way was wrong. Not trying to judge you in that. I'm here, as my job is to perfect. Okay? Not to do away with. Jesus didn't come to do away with the word of God, the law. He came to open up greater so that we'll be able to finish the work that he started. Oh, let's say it that way. See, he started this thing. That's why I said faith is your starting point and your finish line. He started this thing, and then he told us, greater works than this shall you do. Well, if I'm going to do greater works than I saw him do, I'm going to have to grow in the pursuit of faith. Is that correct? Otherwise, I'm just going to try to be a mimic person instead of a person that's connected to him. And there are a lot of people that have decided that they're going to stay in the way. instead of growing in the way. First commandment that he told us to do is to be fruitful, multiply. Sounds like to me that's growth. See? He's not mad because you're doing more. He's expecting that. But a lot of times we are we could be fearful. It could be we're reserved. We don't want to outstep our boundaries. Well, let's just understand that thing about outstepping our boundaries. Did he not tell Joshua, every place that the soles of your feet shall tread, that have I given you? Did he tell Joshua, stand right here. Don't you go no further than right here. No, he told him, go ahead and explore. Glory to God. That's why we're supposed to sojourn in the land of promise. It's okay for us to grow in the thing. Let's just make sure we're connected to the one that spoke. See, if I stay, wow, Lord, if I stay connected to the one that spoke or the one that's speaking, then the word that he's speaking is in the atmosphere where I am. See? So it's okay for me to go into the place of his speaking. He's given me permission to go up in and out. Jesus said that my sheep will come in and they will go out and they will find pasture. See, it is past time for us to come out of the four walls of a building because you are the church. You are the pillar and ground of the truth. See? That's why he told us very clearly in Matthew 28, go ye therefore into A-L-L. I love that word. All. See? He wants us to be displayed because faith is alive. And faith works by love. So then love is alive on the inside of us. He wants us to take that faith, take that love, take that peace, and then affect change in the earth by that. See, faith is the container and the conveyor of hope. This is both collectively and individually. See, we've got to begin to expand our dwelling places, stretch forth the courts. Okay, our curtains should be moving into all the earth. Here's a thing that happens in the back of chapter 2, verse 14. He says that the whole earth is going to be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, the same way the waters cover the sea. That's inseparable growth. I stay so connected to him that where he goes, I go also. Isn't that what Jesus prayed? See? In fact, he told us to go before him in the places that he himself would come. So he's wanting to expand the kingdom. Okay, I'll say this. I mean, I'm saying what I hear. He's wanting to expand the kingdom, not just display the kingdom. Museums put things on display, but they never go out and touch the world. They only can connect with the people that come in to that museum. But Jesus did not want to display only. He wanted to increase knowledge. See, that's why he sent us out. So that we would then, we would then make people thirsty. People won't get thirsty if you don't bring the salt. Salt makes you thirsty. Well, if the salt is on display in the building, then how are people going to become thirsty? Amen. He said, if we hunger and thirst for righteousness, we would be filled. To me, when you're being filled, that means more than just one bite. I'm going to have to consume whatever comes at me so that I can then be filled by what's in front of me. He didn't say just to taste and see. We did that in the Old Testament, beloved. But in the New Testament, he said, I want you to be filled. Glory to God. I'll tell you this. A man that is filled is a man that can complete his work. A man that only had a taste is going to come up short every time, all the time. Okay? So then we're going to have to grow in this. That's why this is the pursuit of faith. I do not purport to be the expert on it. I'm just one that presents itself as hungry and thirsty. And then when the filling happens, I can release now what I've already partaken of. I can bless others because I was blessed. I can help others because I was helped. But if I'm going to just stay in one little pocket, then I'm not doing any good. Only thing I'm doing, wow, Lord, the only thing I'm doing there is aging. There is no newness of faith because all I'm doing in this one collected area is getting older. Stale, if you would. See, I'm trying to get you up off of your, the way I heard it, the way get off your do nothing and do something. And it's hard to do something if, in fact, you've only had a taste, if you're not filled. See? So we want to begin to press into what is this language of faith? Because he said faith is a language and the exchange currency of the kingdom of heaven given to men. So we know that God speaks faith. In the beginning, when God created, he said, let there be, and there was. So faith, words that came out of God's spirit, they were what was released, and then you saw the manifestation. See? So faith is a language. The way we were introduced to faith is as a language. God said, okay, Jesus came and Jesus spoke faith. I only say those things that I see my Father, that my Father have taught me. I only say those things. Okay? So then there was communication between the Father and the Son. Communication, language, just like is made evident or displayed through, you can write these down, thoughts, concepts, words, actions, attitudes, beliefs, emotions, participation, and understanding. Language and faith is displayed that way. It's made evident. When you think a thing, that thing that is in your heart comes out of your mouth. It's going to be spoken. Words. Actions. Because if I say, I love you, and I'm not spending time talking to you, it's going to be hard for you to prove that love, isn't it? If we are separated and have no communication, if we have no language exchange. So then, you know, I'll ask questions. People will say they love the Lord, but they haven't spent any time praying, any time studying, but they're going to say they love the Lord. It's going to be hard for that to be executed because Jesus said, if you love me, you would keep my commandments. You do what I say. Well, I haven't been listening to you, God, so how can I do what you say? Well, that just proves you don't love him. Matthew 4:4 said that we're supposed to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the God, that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So do you think that what he said in 1922 is the only thing he's going to ever say? Selah. So then he's speaking to you today, as it says in Hebrews chapter 1, that he speaks to us in these times by his Son. See, in times past, he spoke in a certain way by the prophets, but now he speaks to us by his Son. Didn't say now he has spoken. Amen. So there are words coming out of God's mouth. And if we are still stuck in the corner on yesterday's revelation, he didn't want that. That's why he showed them the manna. He said, no, you can't go and live off of yesterday's manna. I want your manna to be fresh. And here we are in the same disposition and position of heart that we were in 20 years ago. I would submit to you, my brothers, my sisters, that's not where God wants us. In fact, he says in 2 Peter, he needs us to be established in the present truth. Well, I'm not telling you to go out there and just follow anything. He said be established in the present truth. Truth, not the present conversation that people just throw out there willy-nilly. You will know the truth, Jesus said, because truth has the power, potential, and ability to cause freedom, liberty. And that only comes if you continue in his word. Then are you disciplined, discipled by what he said. Then you will know the truth, become intimate with the truth, and the truth that you are intimate with would cause that liberty. I say all the time, God cannot do anything for you if he does not first do something in you. It is God in you that works will to works and wills to do of his good pleasure. He's got to be working in you. See? So since we understand that faith is a language and it is the exchange currency, let's look at a baby. So just for a minute so you can see this. A baby is born and then the baby begins to make baby noises. And we think those baby noises are just really, really, really cute. And amen, not going to get mad about that. But we begin to teach the baby that we have to have legible and then understandable words. And then the baby grows up experiencing the language through the growth process. How does that happen? They give you, if you go back to elementary school here, they give you what they call vocabulary words, vocabulary building. They start giving you an understanding of words. And then those words have to begin to be used intentionally in the proper place. See? So then the same thing that's done in the natural is done in the spirit. You're going to have to build your vocabulary, the word of God that he speaks to you. And as you build your vocabulary, it's interesting things that your vocabulary building skills, sometimes they tell you about synonyms, words that sound the same but have different definitions. They teach you about homonym. All of these things are vocabulary building exercises. So in the kingdom of heaven, you need to have vocabulary building exercises. It really is not useful for us to pray the same prayer. In fact, Jesus said it's vain repetition. That's what he said it was. See, so then there should be growth in your prayer life. And that growth should be made evident by the breakthroughs and victories that you get to enjoy. Amen. See, I don't pray just to hear myself pray. I am talking to God and asking for and receiving information that will impact my life, turn it around for good, he said. See? So then if I'm not doing that, if I'm just rehearsing yesterday's revelation, see, then I'm out of place because Jesus said upon revelation, he's going to build. Amen. He's not going to visit the museum, if you would. He's going to find out, what are you doing today? See, we are co-laborers with him. So then if God wants something built, he wants us to participate in that building. Well, if I'm not communicating effectively, if I'm not learning the language of heaven, the language of faith, then those things that God wants to get done are going to be hard to get done, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But if all I'm doing is rehearsing the word of God, there is no new hearing that happened, is it? Come on, y'all. In fact, you can make it liken that unto a person that is lukewarm. Amen. It's the same meal warmed over and over and over again. That would be a lukewarm Christian. They're not on fire for God, getting the fresh fire, if you would. They don't even want to approach that. I mean, some of this we've been taught, and it was in error. It was not that their heart was in the wrong place. I can't judge their heart. But the results I can look at. Jesus said, you're going to know a tree by its fruit. So I can look at results. And when you look at the church has not been doing what the church should have been doing. The first church, when they got busy doing what God said, it said people were scared to join the church because they didn't understand God. Now people will stay away from the church because they think they know God. God ain't going to do. God didn't do. See, no. You don't know the God that I serve. See? Because he told me, call unto him, and he will show me great and mighty things that I don't know. See? Great and mighty. He's not going to continue to reveal things to me that I already know. He said he's going to show me stuff that I don't know. Okay? So I've got to go through the vocabulary building and then the intentional, proper use of his word. Jesus said in John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you will, this is your conversation, you will ask what you will and it will be given you. But if I don't abide there, then his word does not abide here. See? Live there. Okay? See? Languages have to be learned. Jesus said that in Matthew 28. If you're heavy laden, if you got a burden, come here. Take my yoke upon you and do what? Learn of me. See? So the reason that he invites you in this yoke, please get it. The reason that he invites you into the yoke is not for suffering. The reason he invited you into the yoke was so that you could learn. Amen. I don't know why people want to suffer for Jesus. We don't have to suffer for Jesus. He's done with the suffering. He defeated at the right hand of the Father. Okay? And so then he's waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool. If I'm still suffering, I'm probably not going to engage in my enemies being my footstool. I'm going to be so busy suffering. I mean, I'm just reading it, y'all. I'm quoting it as it is. See? Because in order to wrap this thing up, it don't take all that. Doesn't take a lot. How could it take a lot if he said, it is finished? Amen. And then he sat down expecting. That's the way it's quoted. It's finished. He sat down and he's waiting till his enemies be made his footstool. Or he's waiting till the light bulb, till the day dawn in your hearts. See? Because we'll go back to Jesus and ask him to do stuff he's already done. It's already finished. See? So this is the pursuit of faith. And you know, I found out that it is not, the pursuit of faith is not because it's hiding from us. You see that in Hebrews chapter 11, one of the verses we would try to go to. But he said, those that do what? Diligently seek him. That's a pursuit, beloved. Okay, all right, all right, all right. As I diligently seek, I'm not continuing in the place that I was. Otherwise, I'm not seeking, am I? I keep coming back to that. That's what I see. I see the church going around in circles, but they're not seeking. They are moving, if you would, but they're wasting their time and their effort going around in circles. As we seek, we should come to the newness of a thing, shouldn't we? Discovery should take place, shouldn't it? Amen. See, and as discovery, come on, y'all, as discovery becomes effective, joy can now be made full. Because whatever I'm looking for, when I find it, it causes a joy, doesn't it? Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the hope is accomplished, it becomes a tree. It becomes supply. That's what a tree is for. I'll go even deeper. A tree, the Revelation says that our healing comes from the leaves of the tree. Glory to God. So not only is it supply, it's also connected to my healing. So then as my healing is brought forth, I no longer need to go around in circles forever, do I? Amen. We got to grow up, beloved. We just got to grow up. The pursuit of faith. It has been stated that communication, 55% of communication is nonverbal. How about that? So I'm not just interested in what you're saying. I'm interested in your actions, your attitudes, your beliefs, your emotions, your participation, your understanding. See? Those are, if you would, those are nonverbal executions. Action is not a verbal execution, but it is included in the 55% of communication that's effective. The vocal is only 38%. The vocal is only 38%. So if all I'm doing, quote, close quote, is talking to God, at best, I'm only using 38% of my communication. So then, so that I can get it, I'm minus, what, 38 from 100? Because we're trying to get to 100 so that we can continually have perfect conversations with God. But all I got is 38. So then I'm like 62% ineffective from Jump Street. And haven't you heard people and experienced people always beseeching heaven with their words? Jesus said it this way. With your words, you worship me, but your heart is not just in another place. He said, far from me. Showing up in a deficit, ain't it? Because your words are only 7%. 55 nonverbal. And here we go, hollering, screaming, and crying to God and wondering why our prayers have not been answered. We've got to get involved because faith is evident and made displayed through thoughts. That would probably help explain why he told us to bring every thought into captivity until that thought obeys Christ. But here we are with all of these wayward thoughts. Amen. And thinking that, well, me and God, we really communicating. No. Because nonverbal, 55% is included in your thoughts, your concepts, your actions, your attitudes, your beliefs, your emotions. Come on. If somebody, we know this one's real. If somebody hurts you at church, then you stop all communication with God and the church. You cut them off. You just keep judging and choosing to unforgive. Unforgiveness is an action. It is a concept. See? And here you are communicating in the 55% to the Father that way. Even though he said, for you to hear, understand, and comply with, he said, if you have aught against any, forgive. And if you don't, do not worry about the words that you're saying. Just stop them dead in their tracks. Because your Father who is in heaven will not hear you. Because you won't forgive. Your actions are speaking. See, faith is a language, and it is multifaceted. It's not just one thing fits all. Okay? He's asking for from Jump Street, Deuteronomy chapter 6 says from the beginning, hear this, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God, and you shall love the Lord your God with what? A-L-L, and that word is again, all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. So that if my mind is made up that I'm not going to forgive, can I possibly love the Lord with that part of my mind? So then there is no way that the faith that you're looking for is going to flow because faith works by love. Okay? You won't have patience because patience is going to employ the faith. Okay? The spiritual life that he's asking us to live is completely connected to one another. And we try to go to the a la carte line and say, well, this is faith because I'm getting it my way. This is love because that's what I want. See, it's not connected that way. That is a disoriented understanding of the Word of God. Go back and do some vocabulary building and find out what love is. Find out how love functions. See? 1 Corinthians 13 will give you help in that regard. That you can't act touchy. Love does not do that. Love does not vaunt itself. It doesn't operate in pride. Because your actions are speaking. They're speaking in the spirit. And when they speak in the spirit, they're not giving what God says he needs to hear. See, it's a exchange of currency also. Faith is a language and it is the exchange currency. So I go to God with this mess and I cannot exchange anything from heaven to earth. I cannot make the purchase complete. I can see it and have a desire, but I cannot exchange what I'm not giving. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that's what he reaps. If you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. So then here I am with my flesh all upset, judging, hating, unforgiving, and am I going to expect that I'm going to receive from heaven? See, that's not the pursuit of faith. That is probably the pursuit of self. And if you could meet your own need, you would never be talking to God, no way. See? You need assistance in this life, heavenly assistance. And yet you're going to function below the place God has required you. And he says, my commandments are not grievous. They ain't hard. In fact, the way of the transgressor is hard. So then, let's ask the question. If your life is hard, would that align you with the transgressor or with the righteous? Because he said he will not withhold any good thing from those that walk uprightly. So have the things been withheld from you? If so, how is it that you think you're walking uprightly? Selah. See, I mean, this is really, really simple. When we deal in truth, truth then has the responsibility of our liberty. If I deal in fictitious lies, then don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Oh, he's not mad at you. He's giving you space of repentance. Okay? He's always offering that to you. I call heaven and earth to record against you this day that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that you and your seed may live. I mean, sometimes we don't even think about our unforgiveness is affecting generations. Oh, Lord. Okay. Blah, 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 blah. Shut up. He's wanting righteousness to reign on the earth, not to come from heaven, but to reign, to rule. He's wanting righteousness to rule on the earth. It should be our first thing that we grab for. We should grab for righteousness. I remember one time I was having intense fellowship, and the question that was asked is, do I want to be right or righteous? Oh, that stopped all the argument right there. Righteousness, when it goes well with the city, it's the people that living in righteousness. So this stuff that we see happening lets us know that righteousness is not reigning. Amen. Oh, it's our fault, beloved. It's our fault. The pure in heart, they receive things. What is one of the things they receive? They going to receive the kingdom of heaven. See? I mean, he's making it available for us, but we won't walk in it. We won't pursue it. We'll say we know that, and then the next word comes out of our mouth is, but. Let me remind you, sheep do not but. Goats but. And if you're going to practice being a goat, then let me remind you that when he separates the goats from the sheep, he's going to tell the goats, get out of here. So then if you want your inheritance, both here and when you get your reward in heaven, we're going to have to stop being goats. We're going to have to be sheep. And his sheep hear his voice. They have participated in the language and the exchange system, the exchange currency of heaven. See, I can't teach something new. I can only take what is established and give it to you afresh. Jesus did that all the time. He would show them things, teach them things by that which they were using every day. We're going to have to make the life of the word our life. Make the life of the word our life. When you do Bible things, you get Bible results. Glory to God. But if you're going to continue to function in flesh, you're going to get fleshy results. And I would submit to you that sometimes fleshy results end up in what we call faith accidents. Sometimes some of it works and sometimes it don't. Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't. See? And we'll use faith accidents as a testimony. That's not the way it was written. Wow. That's again in Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to try to get there. I'm going to try to get there. So I'm just going to give you some practical applications. the vocabulary building. You can do it one word at a time. I call that word triggers. Find out what the word means and then find other ways that that word can be applied in your life. When he said, let this mind be in you, then I need to go back and check and say, wait a minute, that's an operative phrase. I need to allow that mind to be established in me. I need to think like he thinks. Let not your heart be troubled. I need to keep my heart from being troubled. Let, I understand, means it's my responsibility. See, sometimes we would think that let means it's God's responsibility. No, let means it's my responsibility. I've got to go and understand that word, let. See? But if I'm thinking that in order for me to be happy in the kingdom, then I'm going to have to make them do what I want them to do for me. Then why did he tell me to let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus, who made no reputation for himself? Let. See, I got to go and investigate that word. See? I mean, just one word at a time. Let the word that explodes off the page be the word you study. Be the word you commit to live. One time I went to a service. And a guy got up and he quoted a great dissertation passage from the Word of God and sat back down. First of all, it was not asked or required for him to do that at that time. But because he was able to take executive privilege, he did it. So then was that done in humility? I mean, you could see because it was a quote, a passage from the Old Testament, which most people don't read anyway, but they kind of heard it before, and they knew it was in there, and so then he just went out and quoted the whole, it was about 8 or 9 scriptures that he just ran off right quick, you know? And so then you can see the air, if you will, the anointing, just dissipate from the room because it was not on topic or anything. It was just an expression of his pride. See, so how many times have we done that, thinking that somewhere the word that we know is the word that has life? No, that was the word that you quoted. The word is more effective when you live it. Amen. With your lips you worship, but your heart. Then you can go to dealing with phrases after you understand words are in those phrases. See, that would be your graduation, not trying to memorize words. People have asked me things about that. How you memorize all those scriptures? I don't, never tried to, never will. What I do is go after living them, because when they're part of me, then I can say out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Not out of the abundance of the mind. I didn't memorize them. It's not scripture memorization. It's scripture utilization. Amen. See? Because a word that's not planted is a seed that cannot be used. Live where the word is planted. See? A seed that's not planted is a word that's not used. The life in that word has never been transferred. There was a sister at my church, and she brought this point up, and I'll just use it. It's art. Find the art of conversation. And the art meant always remember to tithe. Okay? Art. Always remember to tithe. This is how I began to process my life. There was a daily confession that was drilled into my spirit to the point that it became my only option. It was the first thing that I would reach for, no matter what the situation. And this is the daily confession of the Fellowship of Faith Church. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. as of the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The just shall live by his faith, but the unjust shall die in his fear. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So then faith comes by hearing the Holy Spirit speak the word of God. Therefore, faith is the word of God confessed until it is possessed. This was something that we went over every day because it was the daily confession of the church that I was employed by. So you're going to run into that. And so then I began to dig into it, not just quote it. I began to understand that the just had to live by his faith. And if you are unjust, you will die in your fear. So then I've got to allow the Holy Spirit to speak the word. Because if it's just me saying it, then it's not a word that's active. It's not a word that is alive. And another thing that helped my understanding in this process, in my infancy as a Christian, I was a student of the word. So then one Sunday morning, I asked my Bible teacher to explain a particular principle from the word of God to me. And he took my Bible, he opened it up, and I was waiting with great expectation. Then he closed my Bible and looked me straight in the eye, and he said to me, "The Holy Ghost just told me that he wants to teach you himself." He gave me my Bible and walked off. I was standing there in amazement. Then I came to the realization that there were a couple of statements that I could never make in my life. One of them was that my teacher just didn't like me, because my teacher was God. That couldn't work, could it? I couldn't say that my teacher didn't know to teach me that. See? So I just had to buckle down and allow the Holy Ghost to teach me. So I spent the next year ingesting the epistles of the New Testament over and over and over again, nonstop, one right after another, day in, day out, for about 5 hours a day. And I was looking at this scripture in Proverbs chapter 3, which says this: "Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruit of all thy increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." So first fruits to me spoke about tithes. And since I didn't have a job at the time, the only thing that I could tithe off of was my time. So I began to give God my time. The word tithe means one-tenth. So the tithe for 24 hours is 2 hours and 40 minutes. So that's what was required. That's what I did. And then I looked at the scripture again, and it says, "Honor the Lord." Now that spoke to an offering. So when I got the two of these things in my heart, then I started saying, well, I'm going to have to give him an offering. So the 2 hours and 40 minutes increased to 6 hours a day. 3 hours in the morning, 3 hours in the evening, an hour and a half praying in the spirit, an hour and a half studying the word each time. This allowed my barns to be filled, my heart, my mind, my storage places. And then they begin to burst out with new wine or new revelations. And I recognized that I couldn't function in pride. My storehouse was not meant for pride. It was meant for use. Okay? So then that was the discipline that caused me to be able to look at the scripture and see what God was saying in the scripture to me on a day-by-day basis, on an hour-by-hour basis. And then as I was doing that, I would ask questions to how can I use the word to put my heart in the position to win? Because if I'm supposed to move in him, then I need to position my heart so that I can move. And so then I began to see things from that. In Psalms 12, verse 6, it says that every word of the Lord is tried seven ways. I said, wait a minute. Tried seven ways. You mean there's more than one way to hear how that word works in my life? See, that's why when people say they can't forgive, they haven't found the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, or seventh way that forgive works in their life. Every word is tried seven different ways, which tells me that as I go through the week, I should never have a problem that's not addressed, because seven ways equals 7 days at the minimum. So by the end of the week, I should have found an answer to that thing, because one of those seven ways which the word is tried in is going to work in my life. Again, I just begin to look at it and go back and say, okay, God, I tried that, but I didn't understand it. Let me go at it from a different perspective and try that. Okay? Because you are guaranteeing my victory if I would seek you with my whole heart, then I will find you. So then I just kept on seeking him. Next thing you know, a revelation would come to my understanding. And I would say, oh, that's what I need to do. But if I'm just going to go try it one way and then make a declaration that this don't work, see, I didn't do what he said do. When he said the word is tried seven ways, he just invited me to find all seven ways. For this application of the word, this understanding of the word will work best. In this situation, another application of the word would be best. Did you notice that Jesus never did the same miracle twice? Because he would use another application. It was still effectuating healing. One time he spit in a man's eye. He didn't do that but once. See? He told another man, go your way. See? He didn't have to reproduce it, because he was trying to give us information that says you can try the word seven different ways and get the desired end result. So I'll ask you, how many times in your life have you tried the word the seven different ways and tried it without getting mad because the one that you applied didn't work? This is the growth that we need in the spirit. Begin to go into this process, then you'll recognize that there's nothing wrong with the word. It would be me and my application, me and my understanding. See, I've got to grow, because there are evidences that the faith can be displayed by, that is, thoughts, concepts, words, actions, attitudes, beliefs, emotions, participation, and understanding. See, sometimes we'll get in and one of the other will block our path to victory. We don't like the way, come on, y'all. We just don't like the way God's doing it. Why would he tell me to fast? And then we'll go, well, I fasted and did nothing happen. Well, he's trying to get you to understand fasting is not the only way that an application can be executed. Yes, it is an effective way, because it gets you out of the way. Got that. No problem with that. See? But if every time I go and I fast and I'm trying to demand that God is going to do something, then when did I bring every thought into captivity? See? But I fasted. Yeah, but you did not change your thinking. Get you out of the way, and then as you fast, you can hear how I can approach it from a different way. Victory, victory is still victory if I get there through another door. Amen. I know Jesus is the door. Not saying get there through another entity. I said another door. In my Father's house are many mansions. That means we got some more doors, don't we? Amen. See? So why do I stay at one door demanding from God when I can just simply go to another door and Jesus will cause that door, the revelation that causes that door to work will be given to me, and I can walk in, I can go in, and I can go out and find pasture. See? Jesus builds upon revelation. So then he's going to show me things that I didn't know, see, or understand before. But if I'm going to demand that I continue to do it the way that, okay, other people have told me they did. Okay, you remember what happened to the seven sons of Sceva? They tried to function on another man's revelation. I adjure you by this Christ that Paul preaches. That didn't work out too good for him, did it? It says that that man, he left there wounded and beaten. Why? Because you can't function on someone else's revelation. It has to be a word to you, alive to you. See? Here's a question that God asked in Romans 14. Hast thou faith? Have it to yourself before God. See, he took everybody else out of that loop, didn't he? It's just you and God. See? So you got to get to the place where you enter into the context and covenant expectation of the word for you. Amen. That's why you do those word studies. That's why you do those phrase studies, so that you can make it personal to you. See? You didn't hear one thing from Pastor Steve. You heard the opening of doors from me. Because what that does is that stops the enemy from even knowing how you're getting out. Wouldn't that be good? I mean, if the enemy could just wait for you at one door because you're always going to do it one way, it'd be easy to pick you off. It's easy to block that door. Well, he's going to do it this way and come out that door. Well, see, God gave me seven different doors that would execute my deliverance. See, so then now the devil's looking over here, and I'm coming out over there. I'm coming out up there. Amen. See? I believe that that would be a much easier way for our deliverance to be executed. So that we can be, just like the name of the Lord is the strong tower and the righteous run in. And one of them seven doors that he makes available through revelation, they will cause you to be safe. Your exit is easy now. That's why you should not ever be backed into a corner. Glory to God. The only thing the devil can do, I said this years ago, the only thing the devil can do for me is to cause me to hear my victory. Because he's going to run me into that tower, and in that tower I'm going to be safe. I'm going to be built up. And as I come out another whole way, this is what he did. Come on, y'all. This is what he did. When Jesus was being born, God, the angel of the Lord, told Joseph, he said, go out by another way. See, you can understand God to give you another way out. Why? So that the enemy who was trying to kill him won't even be able to see you. Glory to God. But here we are. We're going to operate in our pride and say, well, I'm going to go out and do this. No, 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 no. Let God show you the way. Here is the way. Walk ye in it. Here, my son, he'll show you this. That does not make you inferior because you use wisdom. Doesn't make you inferior. Well, I want everybody to see. That's your problem. Pride's there. See? You can come out in humility. And if you humble yourselves before the hands of the Lord, he will then lift you up. Come on now. He'll make it so you don't even have to deal with the devil. He will lift you up. He will elevate you. The fight was on this level. And God, because you go into the name of the Lord and you're safe there, he will elevate you and give you an exit that's above your enemies. Psalms 27. Then shall my head be lifted up above my enemies. There's one thing about desire, and I inquired that I might know you, that I might be able to inquire in your temple. Paul said the same way, that I might know you and the fellowship of your suffering and the power of your resurrection. See, I come out at a different level. I might have gotten in trouble in my flesh, but he's going to cause that flesh that I now crucify to be resurrected. And I come out at a higher level. See? I allow my souls. Again, this is what he tells us in 3 John. He says, beloved, I would that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So then as I go in and I begin to trust him, God speaks a word that will cause my soul to be converted. I'm going to go by the waters that steal, and he will convert. He will renew, refresh my soul. See? The devil's looking for me to function in my flesh, and I have a new, renewed spirit now. What happens when you get a new spirit? Glory to God. Isaiah chapter 40. I will mount up. See? The devil's looking for me to come out at the basement, but God just calls me to mount up with wings of an eagle. Glory to God. See, so the devil's looking for me one way, and God has caused conversion in my soul. When my soul is comforted, it doesn't have to think the same thing, does it? I've learned that you learn best at rest. You learn less through stress. Okay? So I go in, and God renews my soul. So then I'm not fighting with myself as the devil is attacking me. See? I allow God to tell me whose I am and who I am. And now from that elevated position, far above all principalities, power, might, dominions, and name, not only in this world, but also in the world which is to come. Now my sight is different, isn't it? Because I am actively pursuing faith. I'm not just pursuing answers. I'm pursuing faith. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even my faith. Not even my answer. Glory to God. See? Because God still wants me to function in faith, which causes the answer to be sure. Because when I hear the answer from faith, faith does not fail. This is the victory. Faith brings me victory. Oh, my God. Faith does not bring me possibility. Faith brings me victory. Amen. Amen. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even my faith. See? I can appreciate you getting strength. That's good. But he said he promised victory through my faith. See? I'm not just looking for an answer, because the devil might change the test. But when I connect with faith, then this is the victory that overcomes. I'm no longer playing tattletale. No, I am experiencing overcoming victory. Okay? The pursuit of faith. And as we begin to look at it, grow into that position, we will experience victories untold. It'll be full of glory with rejoicing, knowing that the God that called me, he's faithful to complete the work. Your way, But God's waiting. God's waiting on you. Will you allow your faith to be developed by listening intently for the next answer that he gives you in faith? The next steps that he gives you in faith? Not you bringing a precluded idea that says, I'm going to do this and this will give me what I need. I'm going to say that and this will bring me what I need. Am I going to become sensitive to his spirit, sensitive to his word, sensitive to his love, so that the faith that he gave me would then become active? And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Father, we just thank you. We bless you, sir, for an encouraging word that gives us more than seven options to deal with any situation, that gives us overcoming victory that's guaranteed by faith, that's causing our steps to be ordered of you, because our steps are ordered in your word, and faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. Thank you, Father, that we are unstoppable when we function in the faith that you gave us by the love that you placed in our hearts. Show us, Father, the way that causes pleasure to you. For without faith, it's impossible to please you. Thank you, Father, that we choose to grow up in you in all things and experience your best, because your best is our faith. We give you praise, sir. We give you glory and honor. Committing it to you is done. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is Lord and Savior, and the redeemed of the Lord said together, amen, amen. Glory to God. All right, beloved, again, if you have any comments or questions about the ministry, tonight we'll give you a couple of minutes here where you can just ask those questions and make those comments, and we'll all grow thereby. Area code 404-408-3807. You have the mic. 404-408-3807. Any comments or questions about the ministry tonight?
Praise the Lord. This is Brother John, 408-3807. And brother,
yes, sir.
I really enjoyed it, and I learned from it too, because I never thought of when you think you come to, when you get one idea of what you should do or how you can solve a problem, how you can handle this or that. God, the word gives you seven options that you can take, and I'll always remember that. I'm going to study that. That's the first time I heard about looking at a situation or issue from seven options that the Lord gave us. I love it.
Amen. 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 What is the number of completion? Seven.
New beginnings. So then if we go at it that way,
he's trying to complete the work that he started, and he's going to give you seven different ways to go there.
Love it. Love it.
Amen.
Love it, boy.
Amen. Love it. Thank you, Brother John.
I'm saying, I just can't wait. Tomorrow I'm start off. No matter what comes in mind,
love you,
what
love
problem,
you.
Situation, I can look it up. Love you too, brother. God bless.
Seven ways. All right. Thank you, sir. All right. Area code 678-701-3733. 678-701-3733. Any comments or questions about the ministry tonight? Go ahead. You have the mic. 678-701-7333. Excuse me, 3733. 701-3733. Any questions or comments about the ministry tonight? Amen. And again, I stress that these are opportunities for you to grow, because it says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Any questions? Area code 404-490-7875. You have the mic. Any questions or comments about the ministry tonight?
That was my first time understanding the seven ways also. Those seven doors, they would open up my eyes. So I'm going to look into that also. And also, I like what you went back and said about the goat and the lamb.
Yeah.
The goat will butt, but the lamb doesn't. That got me. I understand that real good.
Yeah.
So I'm going to keep that and go with that.
Amen.
That's the two main things like I was assuming you got tonight. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. That's what we're here for, to encourage you and build you up in faith so that we can all grow thereby. Iron sharpens iron. Iron doesn't have to fight with iron. It just sharpens it. Amen. Area code 520-990-4287. You have the mic. 520-990-4287. Any comments or questions about the ministry tonight?
Yes, I do. I just wanted to say that really blessed me tonight. And also what caught my attention was when you were talking about if you're not doing anything, like working or anything, then you can also tithe your time. And and I do have a lot of time on my hands, and that's exactly where God placed me right now. So I have all this time on my hands. Where is it that I start in my Bible, in my scripture? Where would you suggest that I start to just pick up and to just start reading and just focusing in on the scripture?
Okay. Here is what I would recommend to anybody that has questions. Is start in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the book of Acts. And then I would say read that three times continually. Just back Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts. When you get through the Acts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts. When you get to Acts, go back. Do that three times. You don't do that to just say, okay, I'm gonna go do that. You are hearing the word, faith came. You have to allow the faith base to be built up so that it will support you. You'll find yourself reaching for things, and God will give you things, even as he did me. He began to give me cross-references from things that I read the first time. I didn't know it was there. When I see it in the book of Matthew, I see it in the book of Mark, and I say, oh, that's what he – okay. You begin to do that because all you're doing is building your vocabulary, okay? See, if you go at it looking for answers, then you're frustrating the grace of God because you don't have anything to communicate or talk to him about, see? If your child just kept coming to you saying, can you do this, can you do this, how much communication is going for? None.
Nice.
All he's doing is making demand. So you're not teaching him anything. So we need to give God something to work with. So you start at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts. The reason why is that's the word of God revealed. Any Old Testament scriptures is the word of God concealed. So we want Jesus in his earthly ministry teaching us. Okay? That's why I would recommend that you do it that way. Then when you get that, then you can go on through the epistles, and you do that the same way, okay? Then when you have that foundation, any of the scriptures that you read, also I will not forget that I would tell everyone that this is a plan that works all the time. You have 31 days in the month, and you have 31 books in the 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. Every day, whatever the date is, read that proverb. And I would say the same thing for the Psalms. There's 150. So then you just match them up. Then when you get to 32, that'll be the same day you go back to Psalms Proverbs 1, okay? And you do that till it gets to 150, then you go back to 1. For the rest of your life, you're going to need wisdom every day. Wisdom in the morning, Psalms at night, because Psalms are going to give you peace, okay? So just you do those things. That's building the vocabulary so that God, because faith is a language and the exchange system given to man, the exchange currency given to man. So that's where I would recommend that you start, and then as you grow in that, and become disciplined in that, then we can go to specific things. Remember those words that you can start investigating, what do they mean? Those scriptures that you have that are alike, key words, then you begin to build on that vocabulary, okay?
Yes, yes.
Okay, can
absolutely.
You do that?
I absolutely
All right.
will.
All right, and you'll see a quick change in some of the things that you do is make decisions, because you'll learn how to trust the Lord because he sent a word to you. Amen. Glad to have you on the call. Area code 678-521-0933. Area code 678-521-0933. You have the mic. Any questions or comments about the ministry tonight? Go ahead. Area code 678-521-0933. Area code 817-919-1557. Amen. Area code 817-919. Hello. Hello, how you doing, my sister?
I had to listen to you about faith. Faith
Amen.
Is my strong out. And so I said I'm going to listen to my brother tonight.
Amen. Glad to hear you.
I'm not in your area, but
yeah.
I made sure I would listen to you tonight.
Amen.
I
well, God bless you.
Last
God bless you.
And I am a woman of faith, and you just make it more stronger when I listen to it more
Amen.
And more. And I'm going to study those things about faith myself because I'm always telling people I'm a strong woman in faith. I walk by.
Amen.
I live by. And so God bless.
That's kind of the way we were brought up.
Yes, it was. And so
yes, it was.
I cannot go any other way but the way of faith.
It's just not going to do no good, is it?
No, it's not. You know, we've tried to go other ways. And it's not going to do any other way. So faith is the way I go. Love you, brother
Amen.
Steve.
Amen. Love you, too, Susan.
All right.
To you,
be blessed. All right.
Bye-bye. Area code 678-677-7795. You have the mic. Any questions or comments about the ministry tonight?
Absolutely.
Here
we go. You are awesome. You are the king of the household, and I love your ministry always. 45 years. Awesome. Love you. May God bless you and keep you.
Well, he's willing. He may keep his red boomerang back to you. Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Well, again, thank you for joining us here at livedeliverance.com. And if you have any, if the Lord lays it on your heart to sow a seed, please be obedient to that because we are only on the air through your free will offerings and tithes. We have cyber members here. And so we expect that the word of God has been given to you will bless and bring up fruit in your life. So as you go to the website, and you can find the donate tab on the website. Just be obedient to what the Lord is telling you, because as you've received of our spiritual things, it's no small task that you should give of your natural things so that you can bless livedeliverance.com. So that's one of the things that we want you to do, because God is looking at a cheerful giver so that he can make all grace abound to you. All right. Amen. Brother Emmett, you said, what was that?
Sound like Pastor Wayne there, buddy.
Yeah.
Pastor Wayne and you, man.
I enjoyed it. I can't help that. I cannot do anything about it.
I enjoyed Amen. It. Love you, man. Thank you.
Love you, too. All right. We just had someone to return on the call here. 817-919-1557. Was that for a comment or a question? Area code 817-919-1557. I just saw you return to the call. Again, we're glad that we had you here, and we'll be looking for you next Monday, and we'll just continue to grow in the grace of God together. So until the next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom. Until next time, be blessed.